Hello, and welcome to episode 2. Today's theme encompasses a gentle reminder that nothing is absolute, especially when it comes to making plans. Being organized is a wonderful skill, but being flexible amidst disorganization is equally important. Let's begin. Before we jump in, I'd like to make a comment onto why I love this podcast. As you can hear, we are not in a studio. Well, a studio of sorts, but by no means traditional. Each episode lives as its own unique space, individual sonic thematicism created by circumstance. And so today's theme I liken to story time by the fire with Jameson, featuring a rooster. Enjoy. Plans can never truly be simple because we cannot predict the infinite minute details that stray us from our objective. Abiotic factors, for example. Our first leg from Massachusetts to Detroit was delayed by freezing rain. Snow, sleet, closed highways, oil changes, flat tires. We are at the mercy of happenstance. And then there's biotic factors, which if you've ever been on a road trip, you are very familiar with. The constant compromise of, do I pee every 3 exits, or dehydrate myself and exist as a husk? Do I eat trail mix and dried mango all day and ride a thin line between hangry and almost nourished, knowing it will let me get to our destination faster? The human body is complex and brilliant, but man is not evolved to sit in a car for 12 hours. Our time in Detroit was short and sweet. We visited my Aunt Kelly and Uncle Bob. They are some of the kindest and most gentle people I know. We arrived late and exhausted, but morale was high, and we woke up the next day underslept but chipper. We met up with Connor, Kelly and Bob's son, my cousin, and headed into Detroit. This method of speed travel, staying in places for abbreviated stints, allows for only first impressions. And so my first impressions paint simple canvases all across America that lacks the deep historical, social, and geographic context in which all these places exist. But simultaneously, seeing something without a deeply prefaced story has a sort of fresh isness to it. You see a place for what it is to you, drawing on your own experiences to make sense of the world. It's very naked, it's very pure, it's possibly ignorant, and maybe it's both. Can the two live simultaneously? Detroit was a city preserving the past and stepping into the future, a delicate compromise executed with grace. Tall modern towers, sleek with mirrored glass, a certain chicness you are certainly familiar with. And neighboring these large buildings were older establishments made of brick, window panes layered with utilitarian crude paint jobs, touch-ups, and subsequent cracks of age. But flourishing businesses lived within, and without any apparent qualms regarding the construction. Humans are very resilient and clever. Within any large society, there is a class divide, so I understand these businesses exist the way they do by circumstance. But, in their defense, they make the most out of it, and that is very admirable. A rite of passage in Detroit is the famous Coney Island, a beef hot dog on a steamed bun and topped with chili sauce, chopped raw onion, and a squiggle of yellow mustard. It is a Weight Watchers nightmare, but unbelievably tasty. Next, we went to Belle Isle, an island branching directly off of Detroit. It was a nice contrast to the city, open and fresh, whereas the city was comparatively huddled and industrial. The day was fiercely cold, and Belle Isle, being right on the Detroit River, made for a cutting wind. Our time outside was short before we decided to visit the Belle Isle Arboretum, an homage to a natural landscape foreign to Detroit. A few weeks back in Massachusetts, my family, Maddie and I, went to an arboretum, but it was lacking a certain immersion. It didn't take me there, per se. There was a disconnect. The plants were in pots and lacked relevancy to one another, like a random greenhouse. But here, we were at the Belle Isle Arboretum, and it clicked. This was an arboretum, a massive greenhouse with winding trails through dense and biome-relevant foliage. A good arboretum holds plants. A great one transports you into another world. Later that day, we went to Caitlin's and Ted's house. Caitlin is my cousin, Kelly and Bob's daughter. Caitlin has 2 children who I had never met, Parker and Mason. Parker was 2, and Mason was 6 months old. Maddie and I both love children. We worked two summers at a climbing adventure camp, and I have worked at a daycare. We are well acquainted with the silly and vastly different personalities of children. And yet every kid I meet continues to come as a surprise. It's a very wild sentiment that all 9 billion people on this earth are equipped with a wholly unique personality. Parker can't talk, but she is sharp, and she's very emotionally intelligent. She loves to work the crowd, and despite a lack of formal words, she is incredibly communicative with her body language and the word puddles she says. Parker is wonderfully playful and personable, and I'm excited to see what type of person she grows up to be. A part of me thinks she'll follow the loose path of too smart for her own good, extrovert, people person who grows up to be a socialite genius, but as I've made note of before, plans are never perfect. The human identity is redefined and refined countless times as we get older, product to life experiences, which are oftentimes random. But despite the infinite theories of anyone's destination, it doesn't hurt to have a good head on your shoulders. And a supportive family, too. So Parker, I think you'll be all right. And Mason, I haven't quite got a read on Mason because babies are these elusive creatures who have limited output but are taking in tons of information trying to make sense of the world. We'll check back in a year or so, Mason, but for now, keep on looking and taking notes. The next morning, we left early for Iowa City, a 7-hour drive. We stayed at a very nice Airbnb, which was someone's basement transformed into a 1-bedroom apartment. The next morning, we left for Ogallala, Nebraska, an 8-hour drive, and a rather uneventful leg of the trip. It was, however, impressively flat. The next morning, we left Ogallala and made our way towards Leadville, Colorado. And this is where things got interesting. And our plans went awry. But first, the drive into Leadville is wonderfully cinematic. You approach the mountains on a sea of flat land, barren and snowy with small herds of cows here and there. And in the distance on the horizon, small mountains inch towards you, their size unknown. The word mountain is a very broad spectrum of size. Mount Weishproof in Australia is the smallest mountain in the world, some 486 feet tall, whereas Mount Everest is 29,032 feet tall. All the other mountains on Earth lie between these two extremes, and all I know about Colorado was that it's mountainous, which remains ambiguous in scale until you are actually there. The mountains continue to grow in size until they loomed far above our car. Great peaks adorned my full vision. Just mountains and mountains and more mountains and snow-covered mountains and huge. It was a twisting road that ushered us up and up and into the swell of mountains. And sometime later, we had climbed to 10,000 feet. Leadville stands at 10,151 feet and is the highest incorporated city in North America. And to anyone wondering what makes a city incorporated, well, an incorporated city has elected officials and a charter from the state. And a charter, in basic terms, is a document signed by the state verifying that you're a legitimate city, company, etc. But within that document are rules and regulations if you want to stay legitimate. Anyways, our trip to Leadville had a dual purpose. To enjoy Colorado, of course, but first and foremost, to go to the highly exclusive store called Melanzana, an activewear clothes company that only allowed shopping by appointment, in person, and the waitlist was weeks out. Possessing one of these garbs would put us into a coveted subclass of man that few may ever aspire towards. Ah yes, social constructs surrounding material objects. But hey, if you're gonna play the game, you might as well play to win. Amongst our giddy adventurous enthusiasm, an enemy lie await. Well, at least for me. As the day tinkered on, ambling about, popping into shops, purchasing Melanzana hoodies, the works, a headache appeared in my, well, head, and steadily grew more intense. Additionally, my breathing became more labored, but I didn't put too much thought into it. Until that night, when I awoke at 3 a.m. with chills, soreness, a blistering headache, a cough, fatigue, and nausea. Was this the infamous elevation sickness I had heard of? Yes, and then some. The next morning, I was effectively disabled from being an operating and functional human. My existence was pain, discomfort, and an unbearable malaise that made the simplest of tasks seem like an insurmountable obstacle. Maddie, being the angel she is, packed the car and took me to urgent care, where I, lo and behold, also had COVID. My order of operations was in its most primal form. As Robert Downey Jr. says in Tropic Thunder, survive! It was that simple. And while dramatic, my body truly was in a place of distress. As we descended from the mountains, my symptoms subsided dramatically. Elevation sickness and COVID make for a very potent combo. Since the morning, Maddie and I had stayed masked, including while we were asleep, and now, day 7 of my COVID, Maddie is miraculously still negative. Our plans from here took a turn. We could not travel to our next workaway spot, so we had to improvise on the fly. We canceled our Airbnb in Cedar City, Utah, and instead booked a hotel in Green River, Utah. Through the fog of COVID, Utah still held a very precious beauty. Utah is a desert kingdom abundant with plump rock formations of varying Utah is a desert kingdom abundant with plump rock formations of varying size and construction. Great faces of crumbling boulders stacked with random perfection, singular and massive clumps of rock shooting out of the earth upwards, valleys of rock mazes, mountain ranges crudely depicting ocean waves. Utah was a rock hound's playground. And amongst the endless variation formed by ancient cacophonies of disruptive movement and violent collisions, Utah was silent. The brute mass of this mangled and open landscape also held a gentle, slow nature to it. While in Utah, we went to Zion National Park. We were tired, even grumpy, but we couldn't miss Zion. National parks are a treasure because they make accessible to us these otherwise remote parts of the world. And these parks really do evoke awe in everyone. They are geographic wonders. Features we all recognize bloomed to epic proportions. The walls of Zion are unfathomably large. Grumpy, hungry, sad, anxious, the features of Zion will steal your attention and fill you with a sense of wonder. To anyone listening, I implore you to make it to a few national parks in your lifetime. They will not be here forever. From Utah, we drove towards Fresno, California, the desert playground of rocks transitioning into a more industrial playground. And soon enough, we were in the city of Fresno, full of noise and life and energy. We got a room at a gated hotel, which was good for our sense of safety in a large city with a high crime rate. Mind you, everyone I interacted with was kind and cordial. We cannot truly judge a place on a statistic. These places are comprised of individuals with, almost always, good intentions. It only takes a few bad apples to spoil a bunch. A COVID observation. That evening, we got ramen, and I thought it smelled absolutely repulsive. It tasted off, but not unpalatable. After some research, I learned that this was a common side effect of COVID, called dysgeusia. D-Y-S-G-E-U-S-I-A. It's a mouthful. It alters one's taste palate, making smells and taste and smell bitter, metallic, and rotten. This thankfully went away after one day. From Fresno, we ventured to a remote Airbnb in Coulterville, which was part of the Mariposa County in California. It lives within a dense forest of oaks, sequoias, and other conifers. This Airbnb is a guest house on a large property with some sort of lumber operation, although I have yet to see or hear this operation in motion. And as you've probably heard, they've got chickens. This is the perfect spot to quarantine. On our second day here, we drove to Yosemite. The drive is equally exciting as the road traverses the side of steep and rolling hills. Think the Teletubbies landscape, but a bit more bramble and a lot larger. These roads are perfect for European car ads with the overhead drone shots and the cool, mysterious driver with sunglasses on. Half of the adventure to Yosemite is the drive itself. With morphing biomes and elevations, you cross mountaintops, dense forest valleys, great open expanses with iconic views of dense mountain ranges. The charm of Yosemite lies not only in its well-known mountain features, but its vast diversity. Yosemite hosts countless worlds within it. And once again, that sense of awe accompanies the whole experience. This place attracts upwards of 5 million people a year. and from every corner of the Earth. It is one of the Earth's greatest geographic feats, a masterpiece formed by glacial coincidence. As we rounded a corner, El Capitan came into full view, and my train of thought ceased and was completely tethered to this massive rock. It was the perfect art installation, oblivious to its power, beauty, and existence. Why do we gawk at things that intrinsically hold no true purpose? It is our obsession with meaning, anthropomorphizing a world that cannot respond. Comparing power to size, delicacy to detail, seeing a massive cliff face and feeling utterly insignificant, or climbing that cliff face and deeming we have conquered that rock, that we are worthy. It's all games, stories we tell ourselves to give our life meaning. And without meaning, what else is there? That is why 5 million people visit a year, to make meaning out of mountains. And of course, less profoundly, to have fun and enjoy the outdoors. I am currently on day 10 of quarantining in front of an outdoor fire pit, and at this point, you are all cut up. I hope you enjoyed. Until next time.